Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
You're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Steppin' Out. Once again, if you want to connect with us here at the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit us on our website at www.steppinoutradio.com. Also, you can just shoot on over to Yahoo, go over to the Instant Messenger, and type in Steppin' Out Radio, and you can IM us as we speak. If you'd like to get some information on Alcoholics Anonymous, you can just pick up your phone book and look under AA or Alcoholics Anonymous, or go to www.aa.org. Next up, we have Pat. Pat, how you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about what it was like and what it's like now.
Okay, well, I kind of grew up in a family that drank quite a bit. My mother and my father both drank a good deal.
Okay.
And I don't want to call them alcoholics because I think it's up to the individual to call themselves one, not me.
Sure.
But I grew up in that kind of a household, and whenever they went to somebody's house or they went to a party, there was always alcohol involved. So
mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of that, and when I was a little kid, I said, I'll never drink at home. You know, because I saw some of the things that, you know, that went on. And I decided I didn't want that for my family when I grew up. But unfortunately, when I did grow up, so to speak, I really continued to drink.
Okay.
You know? And but I drank mostly in bars rather than at home. And it cost me a couple of marriages. And it's caused some problems for my children that I had in those marriages. One son committed suicide.
Oof.
And if I maybe had been sober, I might have been able to, you know, to reach out to him and maybe see that he was having the kind of problems that he was having and would have been able to see those, you know, and maybe prevent that from happening. And then with my second wife, I had two children. One son's doing really well, you know, and my grandsons are beautiful. And my daughter from my second marriage is having some problems now. And she's got about 3 weeks sober now. So, you know, we're
fantastic.
Hoping that she continues with that and things work out. But I spent a number of years in the military part-time. I was like in the National Guard and mm-hmm. was on active duty a number of different times. And the last time of any significance was during the Desert Storm in the 90s. And at that time, I had quit drinking. I quit drinking about 1987, and I decided that I had was going back to college at that point to get some credits to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I needed to stop drinking if I was going to be a doctor. I figured I'll never be able to be, you know, work with some other people if I can't take care of my own problems.
Sure.
So I did quit drinking for about 6 or 7 years altogether. You know,
all by yourself, or
no? I went to AA.
Okay.
Somebody suggested that I go to AA. I'd been divorced from my second wife, and you know, she always said I was an alcoholic. And one time, after I don't know, I had about 6 months, and I called her to tell her that I was an Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was sober now. I said, you know, I am an alcoholic. She says, I knew that. So, you know, her thoughts of what I was, you know, might be somewhat different than what mine were, but. I knew that I needed to quit drinking, so I went to AA. In fact, the guy that invited me to go had just gotten out of prison and had rented an apartment from my mother. At that point, I had moved back to Kansas. I'd lived in Colorado, and I moved back to Kansas and was going back to school, getting the education I needed to go on and go to medical school. And he had suggested to me, well, you might want to try this program too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, I, you know, that kind of, you know, touched a point in my mind that I thought about quite a bit after that. And it was maybe a month or so later I did. I tried to go, and I did go, and I worked out, you know. But unfortunately, the first time around, I got a sponsor, but I only used him for about, oh, maybe 90 days until, you know, I had 90-day sobriety finally.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, then, it was about time for me to go off to medical school because I was accepted into medical school in Mexico, of all places. So this is where I ended up going. And while I was down there, I drank off and on. I'd drink for a week, and then I'd be sober for 6 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I got ready to come home, I'd try to be sober again so the people that I was in AA with wouldn't know that I was drinking. I
right.
mean, you know, like they couldn't tell. I'm sure they could anyway. So anyway, then I had about 3 or 4 years sobriety, or maybe five, and I transferred to, after Desert Storm, I had some health problems as a result of my duty in Desert Storm. and I transferred to podiatry school in New York, and that's how I came to live in New York City. And at that point, I had a hard time making it through school because I also had a number of memory deficits from some of the disabilities that I had. And it was very, very difficult. Eventually, I did graduate from that school and did a residency and finished that. But unfortunately, by the time I finished the residency, during those 3 or 4 years, from like 94 till about 98, I was drinking, but it was very sporadic, not very often at all, because I was working most of the time during a residency. You work about 100 hours a week, and you don't have a lot of time to drink.
Right.
So, but when I did get the chance, instead of taking 8 hours sleep, I'd drink for 4 hours and sleep for 4 hours. A typical alcoholic. I knew where my preferences were at. So when I finished that time in working in the hospital, I ended up, I was totally disabled. I couldn't get a job. I couldn't pass my licensing test, you know, because I was drinking too much. And I wasn't working. I was about to become homeless. And they were wanting to evict me from the apartment that I lived in. And that went on, I guess, for maybe about a year. But about 6 months into that year, I finally decided to, you know, get some help from the VA. So I went to the VA finally and talked to them. And I, at one point, was they thought I was having a heart attack, put me in the hospital, you know, the whole nine yards, you know, give me the IVs and all this kind of stuff. And eventually you found out that I wasn't having a heart attack, that I wasn't the problem, wasn't the reason for it. And
what was it?
Well, what it was is I had some, a lot like the gentleman just shared a little while ago, I had a lot of neuropathy problems. But in this case, it was caused from chemicals that I was exposed to during Desert Storm. And these poisons caused, you know, peripheral neuropathy, which affected basically all the nerves in the body.
Oh, God.
In addition to the nerves that control the hands and legs, they also controlled the nerves in the heart. And I'm sure the drinking didn't help any either.
Oh, sure.
But so when I got out of the hospital after the supposed heart attack type thing, you know, I took a cab home, and the first thing I did before I even unpacked was go to the bar and start drinking again.
Sure.
And unfortunately, you know, the bartender there says, well, where you been? I told him, you know, what had happened. And he says, well, don't you think maybe, you know, being you just got out of the hospital, out of the emergency room from having a heart attack, that maybe you ought to slow down a bit? At that point, you know, when the bartender tells you, you know, you're drinking too much, you just might be, you know? So anyway, it went on, I guess, about maybe 6 months of this, of, you know, not working, trying to get enough money to drink, you know, like I'd get enough money to buy maybe a six-pack of cheap beer, and I'd drink that. And then as soon as I get some cash, I go to the bar. And at this point, I was really into the alcoholism. You know, I'd been, I'm into drinking every day. Before, I'd been, you know, just sporadic. You know, I'd drink for, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then I wouldn't drink for 2 weeks or something like that. And then I'd get drunk for another 4 or 5 days. But at this point, I was drinking every day. And I was drinking whatever I could. And, you know, I was, I wasn't working. And like I said, I was about to get evicted. And at this point then, I said, I got to do something. I can't get ahead because of the drinking.
You know?
And so I went back to the AA, and I went to the, a place that was just around the corner from where I lived. And I sat in the back of the room. You know, I didn't get to know anybody, didn't talk to anybody. I made all the mistakes that people that, you know, in AA tend to make. And so I went out, you know, a month or so later, drinking again, but only for one night. And I bought this bottle of Jameson's because I thought, well, I'm Irish and I've never drank Irish whiskey.
Natural curiosity.
So I figured I should try that. And I said, well, I'll just have a drink. I poured a glass, you know, part of a glass, put the cap back on the bottle, drank it down. And I took the cap back off the bottle, poured a little more. This time I left the cap off the bottle, you know. And that went on until the bottle was gone.
Of course,
I said, well, I might as well go to the bar now and drink for real, you know. So then I went off to the bar to drink some more, you know, drinks. And that was just one night, thank God. So then I came back, and I'd met this guy when I first came in, who was very nice and very kind and very calm. And I asked him right away to be my sponsor. And he said, yes, he would. And I started going to 8, 10, 12 meetings a day. You know, I didn't have the money or any health insurance to go to any kind of, rehab. And I was afraid to go to the VA. I didn't really know what that would do or, you know, or whatever. So I toughed it out, you know, and just went to like 10 or 12 meetings a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wasn't going to a meeting, I had to be walking around the block or something, because if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be able to maintain sobriety. And then after I had maybe, I don't know, a month or two or three, you know, I said, to my sponsor, I said, can we start working the steps? You know, because I'd heard enough people by then, I'd heard enough meetings by then that realized that the steps work.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, so he started me on the first step. I think he gave me, you know, Bill's reading or something like that, and a few things like that.
That quote about, you know, when the bartender says, maybe you might want to kick it down a notch, you know, isn't that kind of a wake-up call for you?
Oh, that very definitely was.
You know? I mean, what does it take to rattle you enough to want to get into getting well?
Well, I think it takes you being sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And after I got out of the hospital and I, you know, had tried Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, the 1-2 weeks, whatever it was, and went back out and tried the Jamesons, you know, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
That was enough. You know, I was ready to do anything, and you have to be willing to do anything and do what people tell you in order to stop drinking.
When you were drinking that Jameson's, I know it was out of curiosity, but did you realize that you lost the power of choice?
Oh, absolutely. That's the first thing that I realized after I took the first drink and got ready to pour the second one. I knew that was it when I took the cap off the bottle.
Right.
It was gone. I had no more choice.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So despite your health and despite anything, that was the most important thing going on then.
That's
huh?
what was important to me.
Yeah.
Even though I knew it would just, you know, it would just make me sicker yet and put me right back where I was at before I went into the hospital.
Sure. It's kind of like what Steve was saying before with, you know, being in the hospital, no control of his body, but, you know, got to get a drink.
That seemed to be the thing that was most important.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So why don't you pick up where you left off?
All right. So anyway, then after I was back in the program and I did make the choice at the very first night of getting a sponsor, I got a good sponsor. And he said at first, you know, just take it easy and come to meetings. And I did. I went to 6, 8, 10 meetings a day. You know, and after about a month or two, I asked him, I said, well, can we start working the steps now? And he says, yes, you can. So he gave me the first thing to read, which I think was How It Works. And
which is what?
In the big book.
Okay.
How It Works.
Basic literature.
Yeah. And then Dr. Bob's story, I think, was one that he had me read too.
Okay.
And the first step and reading on the first step, you know, so I did that. And I read those things. And then he asked me some questions about it, you know.
Like what?
He asked me, like, well, you know, what did you feel? How did you feel about, you know, when they were talking about, you know, how Alcoholics Anonymous works? I said, well, I feel that it'll work for me if I work it, you know. And so we went on from there to, you know, steps 2, 3, 4 and on. And it took about a year before I was up to about step 8 or so, step 7 or step 8 at about 1 year. And things began then to seem like they were going a little smoother.
How so?
It seemed like it wasn't such a battle anymore. I didn't have to go to 10 meetings a day to stay sober. I was working a little bit, and I'd go to a couple of meetings a day and stay sober. And I began to enjoy life, which was something that I'd never done before.
Was the compulsion lifted?
The compulsion was lifted, and I was able to go about my normal life without wondering about where that next drink was going to come from.
And that happened, what, about 8 months in?
About 8 months in.
And you're like, all of a sudden you realize you're not obsessed with drinking?
Exactly. It happens so slowly when you're working a program that, you know, you don't, maybe yourself don't see it, but other people see it. And they begin to tell you things like, gee, you look a lot better. Probably what they're saying is, gee, you washed your clothes.
Gee, you don't smell.
You don't smell anymore, you know. You know? And you show up for work, you know. And then, of course, along with that, you know, by about 8 months, I was back in the military working, doing some active duty work. I was able to, the medicine that the VA had given me was helping enough, too, that I was able to do some more work. And at that point, my life was really starting to get better.
What was happening?
Well, I was able to, like I say, I was able to work. I was able to stay sober. I was able to take one day at a time know that the most important thing is don't take that first drink and you won't get drunk, and go to a meeting every day, and have a sponsor, have a commitment, and you've got a chance. You got a shot at life if you do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, you know, up till about 2 or 3 years, things were still a little tough. But, you know, the last 4 years, I've got about almost 7 years now.
When you say tough not in wrestling with a drink, tough in just life stuff.
Tough in life stuff.
And, okay.
You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for a living? What are you going to do for a job?
Right.
You know, and this. And those things gradually got easier. You know, I've made more money as the months have gone by. I've gotten by. You know, I have a plan for what I'm going to do in the coming year. And things are generally improving a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken 7 years to get to this point where I feel like I'm, you know, back at the level of life that I was, you know, before I took the plunge, you know, 10, 12 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is I have to remember, this alcoholic has to remember that it can all go away tomorrow if I take that first drink.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I don't take that first drink, I do have a shot at things continuing to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a higher power who, in my particular case, I call God, which works good for me. And I kind of look at life as long as I let him drive the car and I just ride along, things work great.
Mm.
If I don't try to make too many plans about what I want to do tomorrow and just, you know, in my case, I pray for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. If I do those things, life increases for me. And hopefully, you know, as I mentioned, I have a son that's doing really well with a grandson. And I have a daughter that has two grandsons from her, too. And hopefully, you know, with her 3 weeks of sobriety now, she'll get to a point where life will be easier for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy when you first get into the program.
Well, talk about it.
Well, you know, the first thing that happens is you have to stay sober.
Okay.
And most people, by the time they get to the program, have come to the bottom of their spirituality. They're spiritually dead and broke. They're physically not in good health, and they're just not able to function in life basically at all.
Mm.
And it takes that.
That was your experience. I mean, you really felt when you got here.
Oh, that was my experience. If I hadn't, I think I seriously believe if I hadn't gotten to that point, or I was so totally down and out, I don't think I ever would have quit drinking. I do not believe I would have.
So you think desperation's really, you got to be there?
I believe everybody has to be there. Now, some people find their bottom, so to speak, at a higher level. Well, that wasn't my experience.
Yeah, sure.
So I can't speak for that. But whatever it takes for you to get there, you know, that it takes.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. But if you do follow the program and you don't take the first drink, things do get better, you know, one day at a time.
What kind of mistakes do you see people making when they first come in?
Well, the first thing I think people expect that things are going to get better overnight.
So they got a very high expectation?
Right? Absolutely. They think that, you know, they're going to get the wife back, their job back, their car back, you know, their house back, their nice apartment back or whatever.
Right.
They think all this is going to happen overnight. And sometimes they get a little disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Did that happen with you?
Not really.
No?
Because I felt that I was at the bottom of the barrel and that, you know, there was only one way up.
Yeah.
And the way out was the program.
Sure.
For me, it's really worked. It's been the foundation of my life. And, you know, and I try to incorporate it in everything that I do, in both my outside life as well as the AA life. And I think if I continue to do that, you know, life is going to continue to get better.
How's your health now?
My health is considerably better. You know, I still have health problems, but I'm able to take the medications that the VA prescribes for me. And when something new comes along, I call them and, you know, make an appointment, or I go into the emergency room and see them, and they take care of it.
But you take care of your health today.
Your
health is a priority to you.
Absolutely,
today.
Absolutely.
And that's a difference, you know.
Absolutely. That's the big thing. I'm looking out for myself, as in addition to looking out for others. And, when I continue to do that, then life gets better.
Have you met other veterans that are also in recovery?
There's a lot of veterans that are in recovery.
Particularly Gulf War veterans, have you met?
Not too many. I mean, I've met some over the years that had a lot of the similar problems that I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are in the program and some of them aren't. Well, hopefully there'll be enough of them out there that'll find their way into the program.
As you have.
As I have.
Absolutely.
And maybe quit drinking and life will improve for them.
Pat, thanks for sharing with us today. Once again, you're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew. This is Steppin' Out.